welcome to the gummy edition of BB Can for the Fans Entertainment. BB Can recap for episode number, 22, 23. Holy crap, we are 20 episodes into this season. I don't know how that happened. And somehow at the end of this week, we only have five people left in the house, Josh. Is that where we're at? Josh, we can't hear you. Are you on mute or something? We can't hear you. So while Josh tries to fix all of his technical difficulties, this has been a week. I have to say that... No, we can't hear you, Josh. I have to say that everything went to plan if I was in the game, because I am rooting for one person and one person only, and that is Kevin. I can't wait to talk a little bit about Kevin and his role in the game. I also have to say that I loved Summer, and now I don't really love Summer. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as we go through the night. But I have a lot of interesting thoughts. Josh has a lot of thoughts as soon as he gets his technical difficulties all laid out. But I think we should just start while Josh is actually being able to get his technical stuff together. I think we should start off with where, you know, episode 22 started. This was the episode where the veto was played. We had the beginning of the episode where Marty put Josh and Betty on the block. It's not a surprise to anybody. Well, except maybe to Betty. She sort of went ahead and said, well, why isn't the showmance up there?
Are we good now?
You're so good. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Welcome back, sorry about that.
Josh. the audio was working and then it disappeared.
It just cut off on me. I really don't know what happened.
I can tell you why. I think it was the gummies. The gummies ruined.
Oh, it definitely was the gummies. Like, it definitely was the highlight of the Wednesday.
There's Josh. Those of you who are listening to this instead of watching it, he picked up his gummies, his Maynards. I don't know if they're popular in the States. I love them here.
It's
in Canada.
The Maynards gummies. That's kind of where we're at.
Are you eating the red one or is that the bad one?
I'm definitely eating the red ones because that's the bad one in this case.
There we go. So Josh, here we are at the beginning of our veto episode. On the block is Josh and Betty. Not a surprise to anyone, except Betty sort of says, why didn't Marty put up the showmance? Doesn't he see there's a showmance? Which is, you know, obvious. Betty doesn't really believe that. But Betty's just angry and upset. They're like, why me? I don't win anything. I don't do anything. But obviously the showmance isn't going up, right?
Yeah, well, like, the thing is with Marty is that, like, he has this image in his head that he truly believes that Gino and JC Lynn have forgiven him. Everything is all good. We're not going to gun for each other. Everything is fine. But then next thing you know, you do realize they were trying to do a backdoor move on you last week. So you not putting up the showmance was not really the right call for him at that moment. I would at least put one of them up and then just go from there. But hey, you know what, Marty, you do you.
Was Marty doomed? Like, spoiler alert.
Marty was doomed no matter. Marty was doomed no matter who he put up on the block, because he was going to be everybody's target for next week. He was 100% going to go up on the block. Yeah. He was potentially going to be black-doored. Either way, he was next to go if he did not win the next veto after his HOH reign. So for him, it didn't matter what he was going to do. You might as well just cause chaos and just put up Kevin and Helena, but turns out that wasn't the case.
I honestly think the only way Kevin had any chance, Marty had any chance of sticking around was either winning every single HOH or every single POV.
He had to win every single competition. He had to win every single competition to get to the end. He has, like, the rest of the people in the house don't trust him. He had no shot of getting to the end. He burned so many bridges ever since the Kyle round. So it's like, hello, like, you know, you got no shot of making it to the end. I'm sorry, Marty.
Should we call Marty Kyle Moore 3.0?
That's a bit of a stretch. I think Marty actually did pretty well. I don't think Marty would have done the same mistakes Kyle made on his own. I think he would have been convinced to make certain moves, but I do not think that he would actually make those kind of moves on his own. I don't think he would pull up that kind of stunt.
So we got a lot more to talk about Marty in this episode. Holy mother, there's a lot of gummy stuff, sticky situations. But we do see one of my favorite competitions in BB Can. We had these folks actually lying down in their own graves. The competition that was named 100 Minutes of Hell. Very simple. Person who hits the buzzer closest to the 100 minutes wins the competition. And obviously, you can't just lie in a grave. You got to add a little water, make freezing cold water, get yourself uncomfortable. You got
to
add
in some red dye to make it turn into blood, throw in some maggots.
Yeah. Hold on. That red dye was orange.
It looked red to me.
It looked orange to me. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm blind. I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, you got to add, my favorite part of that competition is always the family messages. Where, you know, you saw Summer getting a message from her mother, Gino's sister Stacy, Kevin's wife, in air quotes, Jillian, Josh's boyfriend, Daniel. And we see Josh, as usual, getting so emotional. Mm-hmm. It's part of the reason why I love Josh, because he just can't hold it in. And it's just so real and authentic.
He's a great guy.
Betty's boyfriend Ian came in there telling her, you better stick with Betty B for the rest of the game because you got to get to work. And I was sort of thinking, this is so not fair for Helena. It wasn't her fault she didn't get on that wheel, but she didn't actually get to get in there and play the veto competition and hear something from her family. Not fair.
Well, the thing is that it's only meant for people to compete in the veto. And I think Marty and Helena not competing in the veto, obviously somebody was going to sit out. And JC Lynn didn't get one either because she was hosting the veto comp. So it's there's three people that don't get it, but it's just the other six people do. So, yeah. I mean, snooze, you lose, but hey,
at least, the one that was sitting out got to hear a letter from them the week before, right? From the family.
One was that?
Well, who was sitting out? It was Marty sitting out, right?
Oh, Marty was sitting out. Yeah, Marty was sitting out.
Had Summer, who was the first to press, and she pressed really pretty far away from everybody else. She makes a decision to stick in there just so she doesn't throw off Betty. Again, really making it clear that her ride or die in this game is Betty. Really interesting, because just a week or two ago, she went to Betty and said, yeah, I'm not that sure I'm going to save you.
I think Summer's real number one was Herman, but had Betty as her backup number one if Herman were to leave. So that's why, I think in her case, that's why she's kind of hesitant, being like, should I keep Betty? Should I keep Herman? I think the way Summer played that out was a little bit risky. I do think that she actually managed her relationships with Herman and Betty to a point, being like, hey, listen, right now, you two are my closest allies in the game. This is really, really, really difficult. Let me sleep on it, and then I'll get back to you first thing in the morning. The fact that Summer was so lean towards I'm not quite sure yet, and still really adamant about it, that's where it stooped her. But yeah, I'm not convinced Summer. I mean, I am convinced that Summer's number one is Betty, but I don't think the entire portion of the game that Betty was her number one.
So I don't necessarily disagree with what you're saying.
Yeah.
But however much I was a Summer fan, that was a clear tell to me that Summer screwed up her game. Or at least all of her allies were sent out the door and she was one of the last ones left. Because if the only person that she can have by her side is somebody that can't win a competition, including herself, who hasn't won a competition, whether she's throwing them or not, that is a really bad position to be in.
Yeah, I think the fact that Summer went from one of the top positions in the game to the bottom when she lost her number one, Tanisha. Actually, to be honest, I think her real number one was Tanisha. But then, once Nisha left, it became Herman. Then once Herman left, it became Betty. So it was just she had her simultaneous number ones just in case if any one of them were to leave. So I think, Summer really got screwed within the past 2-3 weeks. I think she did get lucky with the Bel Air Direct because she needed a break, because otherwise she would have been the backdoor target had one of them win veto, in my opinion. But
screwed is a little bit taking it too far for me, because What makes a good Big Brother player? Their ability to be flexible and figure out how to get through any situation. She had obviously her core people she trusted, but she wasn't able to save them. They slowly ran away. So did she get screwed? Maybe she didn't play the game good enough.
I think it was really her. I think it was just the fact that like all of them became such big targets.
She didn't adjust. She didn't go and, you know, give a handy to Gino to make him the best friend. What did she do?
Well, she did try to make amends with Gino. Like, she did try to, make some of those connections. But, the thing is, if she really wanted Gino, she should have cut it off JC Lynn weeks ago. She easily could have had Gino in her back pocket. She didn't do that because she fully believes that, hey, you know what? If I keep Gino happy and keep JC Lynn in the game, he'll want to work with me. Huh? Look what he just told you last week. He basically told you to go fuck yourself in the last round. Come on. Are you kidding me? Now you basically ruined that. So now you lost a relationship with Gino for keeping JC Lynn in the game. I do agree that, okay, let me talk about Summer real quick. I believe that, the first half of the game, she did really well. She was set up beautifully. Everything was well done. Her game slowly went downhill when she lost to Nisha, when she lost her mind.
Yeah.
When she didn't cut JC Lynn weeks earlier prior to pre-jury, because then Gina would have been underneath Summer's feet. She didn't do that. So she had the moves right there. She just didn't make the opportunity to make the strike when it counts. For Kevin's case, which we'll discuss in a later episode, Kevin said the following words: where there's an opportunity to make a move, you got to strike. She had so many opportunities to get herself back into a top position, and she didn't do that. Did Summer suck at the game of Big Brother? I don't think so. I think she did pretty well. She definitely fell off the deep end in the last half of the game, but I definitely think she set herself pretty well for the first half before jury.
Yeah, but who cares about the first half? She didn't win. She didn't get far. Well, she got far.
Well, she got far, but yeah, she didn't win. Yeah, I agree to that.
She just had nowhere to maneuver. She didn't have a close enough relationship with anybody else to actually get anywhere. Her other ally, air quotes, Gino, said F you. Obviously,
that's basically it. Yeah,
bad management.
Because the thing is, that's like I said a few times, Gene, that Summer, if you want Gino all to yourself, you should have cut off JC Lynn. You didn't do that. Now Gino is saying, I choose JC Lynn over you. Now you're screwed.
So bad gameplay.
Bad gameplay.
And by the way, I'm here for Kylie because Kylie's become a Summer hater.
Yeah, she became a real Summer hater before she came right on you.
And we will get into more summer hate because I got a few other words to say about her. But we'll get there. So
Yeah. We'll get there. Yeah.
Still in this coffin. We got bloody water coming in. We got my favorite part of this competition was when Marty and Helena came in and threw the fake organs in, and then we get on the screen, all organs featured are fake props.
That made me laugh my ass off. I was like, props. That looks so realistic. They did a pretty good job.
So my favorite part of that is a prop is naturally fake. So you actually don't need to say fake prop, because if you're saying it's a fake prop, that means it's real. So maybe it was real organs. Grammar. I don't know. Okay, I'm just a nerd. And then my favorite part of this competition, when they added the maggots, the worms, the bugs, Summer jumps out. No, no, no. She says, no, 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 no. Runs out. Everybody stays in, tries to deal with it. There is Gino sitting there acting as if this is, a normal day in his life.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing.
Yeah.
If someone were to drop maggots into the coffin, and if I were to compete in the veto competition, unless it's literally eating my flesh, I'm not leaving. Absolutely. Okay? These things are harmless. Prod knows that, they wouldn't put something that's going to, all of a sudden make you lose blood or make you sick, right?
Of course.
But for this case, it's like if Summer's ass was on the line, she would have easily lasted a lot longer than that. She just hopped up because she's like, nope, there's maggots. I'm safe. I'm out. I'm not doing this. That's what she did for most of the game regardless. She knew she felt safe, so she didn't try. But that's just how it is.
Once she leaves, we start seeing people press the button. Josh presses the button, does not get out. Then Betty presses the button and gets out. Gino presses the button, stays. And last but not least, with a crazy strategy, Kevin presses the button. We get our results in fifth place. The one who ran first, Summer. Then Kevin. Then 3-2-1, Gino, Josh, and the winner was Betty with just being 42 seconds off of that 100 minutes. Holy crap. And obviously, she sticks it to Marty. I'm not going anywhere, Marty. No, I love this moment for Betty. This is the moment I was waiting for her. And this was the perfect competition for her to say, watch your back, Marty. I'm done with you.
I think Betty with DeVito was definitely a bittersweet moment because now Marty has to show his cards. Be like, so am I going to put up a member of the showmance and betray Gino for a fourth time? Or do I actually put up one of my alliance members as a pawn? If I was in Marty's position, I would have been like, if I put up Gino or JC Lynn, they're going to flip on Gino or JC Lynn, and then all of a sudden the other's going to get pissed at me. If I put up Kevin or Helena, they'll be more reluctant to vote Josh. So that's what I would have done in that circumstance. Does Marty Farrell follow through with that? We'll find out.
TBD. Well, right after this, we see Gino wanting to do some game talk with Marty just to make sure he's not on the block. And JC Lynn is not on the block because he's a little bit scared that Marty's actually really closer with Kevin and Helena than with him. And what we see is...
Which they're not wrong. They're not wrong. They are closer to him than they are to the duo.
Except Marty says to Gino, I'm scared that Kevin is so close with Josh and would flip. And then this is where Gino, again, a smart move, says, you're right. Kevin's really close with everyone. And then Marty says, you know, I'm also scared JL will flip on me. And then Gino's like, yeah, no, she's my girl. She's my girl. Don't worry. Because if she flips on me, she's flipping. If she flips on you, she's flipping on me, and I'll leave her alone. So I love Gino's gameplay here. I love what he's doing. He became such a threat down the stretch.
Yeah, I agree. Like, even with, here's the thing. The fact that Marty was, like, Marty of all people, minus Summer, was the only person in the house that knew what Kevin was, like, that figured out what Kevin was doing. So like, if you knew that Kevin was going to basically be the ultimate pawn in this case, putting him up on the block guarantees Josh will go home. So it's like, if you want Josh out of here, you got to put up the person that you believe is not going to flip all the votes. But it's just like, come on. Like, it really doesn't make any sense in my opinion. And on top of that, like, moving down a little bit, like, when Helena and Marty decided to have a little bit of a conversation, they both went down and Marty pitches down to Helena saying, hey, listen, I'm torn about either putting up Kevin or JC Lynn. Helena, being the number one ally that she is to Marty, aka number two to him, and this like in her eyes, decides like, hey, listen, Kevin has done absolutely nothing wrong to you. He has always been by your side. He has given you his word on every single thing. The duo has tried to throw you under the bus last week. Like, it makes no sense why you should cut for Kevin when he has had your back. Obviously, Marty, being the swayed person that he is, has to just go along with it, but it is what it is. And I'm just sitting back here being like, Marty, like, listen, I understood why the duo tried to throw you under the bus last week. So your best bet, so for your game standpoint, it would make more sense for you to throw away JC Lynn or Gino. Specifically JC Lynn, because Gino has nowhere else to go. He would have to go to you, right? But the smarter move would have been to cut off Kevin first, because then at that point, it's like, Marty, you have no other way of getting yourself farther in the game unless you win every single competition from here on out. You might as well make a chaotic move and just throw away Kevin. But hey, you know what? Do what's best for you. Like, throwing away Gino or JC Lynn, sure. Throwing away Kevin, even better. But if you want to get rid of Josh, you should have put up Kevin or Helena.
It's a testament to Kevin's game. I've become such a fan of Kevin. He has become maybe one of my favorite VB players of all time. Honestly, really? Like, there he is, and he's having. My favorite part about Kevin is not just that he's smart, but he is obviously having a blast doing it. Like, I feel like he's a kid playing a game. And he's been wanting to play this game forever, and he loves it. Speaking about Kim play, about Kevin playing a game, you know, I think it was time for Kevin to get his hands a little dirty because he was called to the diary room where he had a secret mission. He very simply had 100 minutes, 100 minutes. And, you know, they said, if you don't know what 100 minutes is, go ask Betty because she knows. She knows.
The shade from Marsha.
You have to go. I love it. I love Marsha. Love me some Marsha. By the way, Marsha's a dude. Marsha's actually a guy. I met him when I went to see a taping. He's one of the producers.
I am not surprised because I can tell, like, the vocals from.
He's a dude. But Marsha's she's a funny one. Anyways, Kevin's job was very simple. Convince everybody you're leaving and get the heck out of the house. And so he runs in all around the house, tells Josh, I'm leaving. This is all my fault. This is horrible. If I don't do this, Helena's going to go up too. And like, I can't do this. And he sort of convinces Josh and Josh isn't really trusting him at first, but then he starts trusting him. He goes to JL and he tells her, oh my God, I heard that recording from Chile and I can't, it hit me. I got to go. He goes to Betty. This is too much. He goes to Summer. You don't know what it's like to be married. My favorite line. To be married. Helena hears the news from Josh and Betty and is so confused and is scared. Gino almost looks like he's about to make out with him. Holy moly, what an adventure it was. Everybody was so sad. Everybody was crazy. And Marty didn't fully believe it.
I think Marty was like, come on.
He won that. At least he did something right. Kevin goes in the main hall and starts dancing and saying goodbye to the house, walks up those stairs, those doors open, and you're psych! We all won something! And what did they win? They won a sleepover in the Expedia room. But there is a party. I don't like the idea of a sleepover. That's boring to me. I don't want to sleep with all
the people. I think...
But the party was fun.
I think they wanted to do something else, but probably based off of, like, maybe they wanted to do some sort of barbecue in the backyard or something like that. I think that would have been a lot more interesting, but a sleepover in the Expedia room. As soon as I heard that and then I looked at the people on their faces, I can tell they'd be like, that's it. Yeah, like they could have thrown in a little more something. And like at least like if you're in the house for a certain amount of days, at least give them like, you know, a pizza party or a movie night or something that at least takes them out of the game. Like a sleepover in the Expedia room, it's still game vibe for me, but all right.
One of the other things we've been really seeing the last 2-3 weeks is Helena play. And we see this really interesting conversation where Helena is going to Marty and continuing on to say, you know, we're our final twos. You're my final two. And I think Marty believeves it and Marty would bring her to the
end. In reality, that's her number two, Mark Kevin's number one.
Exactly. Exactly. And basically Marty says, yeah, I'm thinking about putting up Kevin. I'm scared he's going to flip. And she very simply says, are you joking me? Are you serious? JL and Gino are going around the house putting your name on the line and talking shit about you all the time. And you're going to do that? Kevin would never flip on you. Kevin would never.
That is a good defense way with Helena. Like, that is definitely a very good selling point. I think, like, Marty should have, like, the fact that Marty actually reconsidered his options after that, I honestly don't blame him for that. Helena is definitely really good with her words. She's really good at protecting the people that she matters to most. And I honestly think that if she keeps playing like that, she could win. Like, I have full faith in her right now.
I think she will win. Period.
I think she will. Yeah.
I think Helena's winning this game. I think that she has shown an ability to watch other people help her do the big stuff, and that is Kevin, while keeping the big target off of her. And she's doing this without a single HOH win. Holy moly.
That is amazing. I love it.
After that conversation, obviously Helena goes to tell Kevin what happened in that conversation. Kevin's a little nervous, needs to go have a talk with Marty. And you see Kevin laying it on there very, very thick. What do you want me to do, Marty? I'm loyal to you. I don't know how to, you want me to go outside and yell that I'm going to, you're my number one. I'll do that. He offers to give him his wedding ring, which I love because he ain't married. Here's the thing.
Like, if someone is being like that, like if someone does that, they are a little desperate. Like, especially like we were trying to throw like everything on the table, being like, hey, listen, do you want me to do this? Do you want me to do that? Do you want me to just show you that, like, hey, listen, I'm loyal to you? It's just like, why are you giving him that much ammunition? That basically goes to show that you're being a little shady. You could have just easily say, listen, I'm not going to do this. I will tell you, you have my word. I will go into that. I mean, like, I could see what he was trying to do, but he was doing a little too much, in my opinion. I think he should have just held back but
it worked because he knows that Marty's extremely emotional.
Yeah.
And Marty could be swayed. And you know what happened after that? Marty said, you know what? I'm not going to make a decision. Why the heck would I make a decision? Let's bring Gino. Let's bring Kevin. Let's bring JL. And let's bring Helena in. And let's all get together and get some gummies. Three yellows and one red. And in fact, he tells Gino, you do not have to be in there. It's okay because of what I did, unless you really want to be to solidify us all. And the idiot, I'm sorry, Gino, says, yeah, you know what? Sure. Why don't you put me in there? Put me in there too. I'm part of the team. And then everybody, he shakes this cup. They all reach in. Everybody picks up their one. And which color, Josh, what color does Gino take?
He takes the red.
And he was on the block. Gino,
idiot! You freaking idiot!
How did you do that? That's so stupid.
Well, his rationale was, I can't feel like I'm out of the group. I can't feel like I'm out of this.
Why?
I can't act like the shady one.
Here's the thing, though. He's expressed multiple times at JL. He knew that alliance with Marty, Kevin, and Helena is shady. So if you knew that alliance was shady, back out of it. Who cares? Play for yourself.
It was the silliest thing ever. What I just simply fundamentally don't understand is if he was going up, why after all of them left, he didn't go to Marty and say, I should not have done that. If we do this, they're going to flip on me. I do not trust Kevin. If your word is your word, put up somebody else. And I assume the reason why he didn't do that was that he was afraid JL would go up.
Well, then if JL goes up, then it's the same result regardless.
Well, it's not the same result regardless because JL goes home and not him. I think he loves her in some way, and maybe not love yet, but like I think there, like he would feel bad that he takes himself off the block from the red gummy block and JL goes up. I honestly think that's probably what happened. I don't know.
So if Gino would have not put his hand into the gummy, who do you think would have pulled the actual gummy?
Well, we don't know. It's a one out of three chance. So who knows? It could have been any of them.
Probably would have been more likely Kevin or Helena because it's 2v1.
I don't know. Sure. All of them would have had. Yes, statistically, you're right. There would have been a 66% chance versus a 33% chance.
Yeah.
But who knows? It could have been that 33% chance. I don't know.
Yeah. I think both Gino and Marty basically made one of the dumbest moves this season. Gino putting his hand in, saying, volunteering, saying, put my hand into the gummy. Like, that was really stupid. Marty nominating Gino and backstabbed him. Four times this game. Yeah. Four times. Why?
My favorite part about that entire situation was I honestly think that Marty believed what he was doing was brilliant.
But
I think Marty was doing it and like, oh my God, this is it. This is going to get me to the end. This is me. I got this.
All that gummy thing did was avoid accountability and say, this is Russian roulette.
Absolutely. And obviously at the POV ceremony and next episode, who uses her power of veto? Betty, my girl, my new Summer. I'm more in love with Betty now than Summer. Oh, I'm over Summer. Forget Summer. It's over Summer. I'm done with you. And Betty takes herself on the block. And just as the gummy predicted, Gino went on the block. JC Lynn's face was like, holy crap. I don't know what we just did. This is the silliest, craziest thing. She knew Gino was going home. Somewhere deep down inside, she must have known that because she couldn't trust Kevin. She couldn't trust Helena. So maybe she didn't know for sure, but she knew this was.
I think the second Gino hit the block, both of Gino and JL's paranoia reached through a skyrocket. What both of them should have done is said, hey, listen, Gino shouldn't have done that. Or like, I agree with what you said earlier, but like Gino should have had a conversation with Marty being like, hey, listen, I shouldn't have put myself in there. If you are a man of your word, you would put up Kevin or Helena. That's what he should have done as a final ditch stepper, but he didn't do that because like it was like, well, what's done is done. I'm like, Gino, you don't give up there. You still fight.
But I guess the fear was, holy crap, if I go in and I say that, the red alarms are going to be on me, and I'm the evil, crazy, scary one. Like, I
think that's fair. That's fair. But, like, this is Marty here. Like, you know, like, he loves Gino.
Do they have a relationship after this game? Like, I fundamentally don't know.
I think after this, I mean, maybe, because here's the thing. They're both around in the Quebec area in Montreal, so it's like...
No, Marty's in New Brunswick.
Oh, in New Brunswick. Okay, well, never mind.
And Gino's in Ottawa. You got all the Canadian geography wrong, Josh.
Excuse me. Sorry. it looked like from both of them they could be Quebecers, okay? It looked like from both of them.
You are wrong.
I'm wrong. Okay, I got you. Sorry.
You know, the outcome of this was really interesting. JL was shocked. Gino looked depressed and like somebody slapped him in the face and he didn't know. This was more than when Will Smith had a slap in the face a few weeks ago. This was a lot. You got Josh in that diary room saying, this is illogical. What the heck is wrong with this man? And he was so right. And then
because Josh knows that he's 100% staying if Gino hits the block.
100%. And you see that celebration between Kevin, Helena, and Josh. Helena basically saying, hey, dude, are you dumb or are you stupid? She says, you know, it's nuts. And Josh walks in and says, this is a miracle. What? This is going to come down. This sort of is as bad as Marcellus not using the power of Vino on himself.
That's a bit of a stretch. I think this is definitely like I would categorize this as a dumber move for Cliff nominating Bella instead of putting up Haldy and BB20.
But this is more. This also has a gummy worm, a gummy bear ceremony. Like I don't know. There's so much. This is gonna go down.
It's like the koalas have spoken in the BB Can 4. It's funny. Nuts.
I don't know. It's nuts. And, you know, the part of the outcome was another a great scene. Kevin outside while there was snow in Toronto last week, dancing and singing. And why wouldn't he be happy? He's safe. He's going to the end is the way he's looking at it.
At the way it looks right now, yeah.
If he goes to the end, I don't know. We also see this really strange scene, which again, we keep on seeing tidbits of this, but we see JC Lynn's game dar to be extremely strong. And there's this scene where, you know, where JC Lynn and Helena are talking about what's going on, Josh going home, and Helena's not giving her perfect answers. Helena's obviously not telling the truth. You know, as of right now, I'm not flipping, Helena says, and JC Lynn's like, what?
As of right now?
Excuse me? Remember the five? We put our five fingers up and we all looked in the camera? What? Good on JC Lynn, but honestly, way too late.
Yeah, it was way too late. Because here's my thing. Like, here's the thing with Helena. Helena is really good with her words, but her face says otherwise. She's like, you know when she's like doing something guilty, her eyes look down like this. She whines it. She just goes like, it's too obvious. It's like, come on. Like, at least like make it like, at least work on your poker face a little bit. Like, she did try to like soften the blow a little bit, but yeah, you can tell that JL was already paranoid as it is. What Helena should have done is say, hey, listen, I'm not gonna flip on Gino. I'm telling you, we're good. You could just relax. The fact that JL was already so paranoid and Helena was already uncomfortable, it already proves her theory. It's like, come on. Like, at least try to calm it down a little bit, but all you did is made it worse.
So, obviously, after that, JC Lynn goes to Gino and says, something's up. Something's up. And very simply, Gino says, I feel played. Marty is manipulating us. He's babysitting us.
Not Marty.
His way. This is the Marty situation. He basically, like, what's interesting to me, and we also say that as Gino walks out in a few minutes, but he really, in his gut, thought that Marty is potentially the mastermind of this game. And they still don't realize that it's Kevin. They still don't see it's Helena. Like, they don't see that. I really think that Gino thought in that moment, holy crap, Marty is the mastermind here and is playing all of us.
Marty couldn't even mastermind himself out of a paper bag. Perception. Like, yeah, like, the deception for Kevin and Helena was so freaking brilliant. Like, they made Marty such this chaotic Adam Klein Big Brother player that everybody is like, we can't trust this guy. And the fact that they keep pushing that narrative so well to those two, to have those three buddy heads, it's brilliant. Like, I gotta give him props for that. That was a good job.
I don't know. I don't even know how he did it. Like, listen, I always say this in these games. There's so much of this that is luck. 100%. So much of these games are luck.
I agree.
Truth be told, their ability... Have they been on the block? Kevin's been on the block in the
beginning. Kevin's been on the block at least twice. But Helena has never been on the block. She's the
everybody's with Kevin. Everybody's with Helena. What the heck is going on? Why don't they see what's going on? It's amazing. I love it.
It's the smoke screen that they try to form with Kevin and Helena. They try to be close with everyone on all sides. Like, they did a phenomenal job. I gave them props.
I want to play this game.
I
want to play their game. I mean, like,
I feel that.
And Helena. I want to do that.
I want to play more of a Helena game than a Kevin game, but that's just me.
That's because you want to win.
That's true.
We got to the vote. Josh, in his speech, basically says, you know, don't come and take a bite of this delicious chocolate chip cookie. Gino says he was told to kick his feet up and ended up on the block. There's some interesting speeches. Obviously, Jason Lynn votes out Josh to keep Gino. However, everybody else votes out Gino. Gino goes home. Jason Lynn is in huge shock. Obviously, they didn't tell her. They blindsided her. They blindsided Gino. Marty, also in shock, did not know it was coming. Absolutely terrified. And as Gino walks out the door, Gino says, Marty, her mom was not wrong. There is a three-headed dragon in this house. Jace, I would not trust them. Stay away from hell, from them. And when Gino goes out to talk to Arisa, he answers, who is this three-headed dragon? And the answer he gave, Kevin, Helena, and Marty.
That was a beautifully read heads up to JL being like, there's a three-headed snake. Do not trust those three.
But it isn't. But it's not real. It doesn't exist. It's a two-headed snake. And Marty didn't want Gino to go.
No, but like... But he's not wrong, though. Like, he did, like, betray Gino, like, multiple times. So, obviously, he felt that way. But I think, like, those two were planning to take Marty to the end anyway. So, obviously, like, including them as a three-headed snake, it makes sense. Obviously, towards Kevin and Alita's games, they're like, we'll toss out Marty if we need to toss out Marty. But they were willing to take him to the end over Josh. So, there's that.
Look, was it the right move to get rid of Gino over Josh is the question.
Well, we're about to find out because
for the people in the house, the decider is that vote were Kevin and Helena, right? Yeah. Did it make more sense for Kevin and Helena to get rid of Josh, or did it make more sense for Kevin and Helena to get rid of Gino?
It makes more sense for them to get rid of Gino because Josh, even though it was close to competitions, Gino won two HOHs, which is the closest thing that Marty would have gone pretty far into the game because they keep winning competitions. So you might as well get rid of a challenge beast that get to Josh, who was going to be loyal to them anyways. Gino and JL were already skeptical of Kevin and Helena anyways, so it makes more sense for their games to cut off Gino.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, the game is so... I actually think that for Kevin and Helena, it may not have mattered. Because no matter which way they turned, they were either going to be insulated by Josh and Betty probably, or Summer, or they would have been insulated by JL and Gino. So, like, honestly, from their two perspective, it didn't really matter. My gut says they had preferred, they would have been a bit more scared of Gino just because he won more. So maybe that would be long-term a little more difficult, but... Yeah, I don't know. For them, I don't think it mattered. And then it was time for Arissa to tell them the news. House guests, this is a triple eviction. Everybody shocked. Everybody scared. Well, not really. Kevin knew. And Kevin.
Yeah, like Kevin called it already on the live feeds, like for like, the entire week. He knew that the triple eviction was going to happen from 8 to 5. And I'm just like, I don't blame him. Like, if it was like if this was final 8, I would be very careful with how you set yourself up, because if you mess up, you could be out.
Absolutely. We go to the HOH comp, the challenge time machine, very simple competition. They have balls. They have to try to put them into holes by balancing in a little circular thing.
That's the veto comp.
No, that was the HOH, the challenge time machine. I lied. This was the challenge time machine where they were asked when did things happen?
Yeah.
This season, did thing A happen before or after the other? Thank you for correcting me. Well, what was really interesting here was Josh, every time the question came, he flipped his letters. He knew everything. He looked like a medical student, honestly, who studied, did his work, and was ready for the test. And he was ready for the test because he won.
Was ready.
You know, Josh exactly won his first HOH. He's so excited, cheering for joy. Betty excited. They had no time from what they showed us to actually talk to each other. Goes into that house. Arissa asks him, who is he nominating? He nominates Marty. He nominates Jesse Lynn. And he nominates Summer. What are your
thoughts? That was a little bit of a risk with Summer. Because if you nominate Summer, she will never forget it. I think he should have done either Kevin or Helena, because he knew that neither of them were going to go. Or both of them could go. Because what he could have done is he could have set himself up being like, listen, my targets are Jason Lynn and Marty. I can convince the rest of the house to get rid of those two. Or if he wanted to, he could have been a little bit sneaky and be like, hey, Betty, Summer, listen, we need to get rid of Helena or Kevin. Like, that's what Josh should have done. That was that would have been the right move. Putting up Summer, yeah, you basically gave Kevin and Helena all the power. Like, that was done.
So I kind of agree with you, except that from what we see is from Josh's perspective, his final three is him.
With Kevin and Helena, Kevin, yeah.
And Helena. And the other one for him is Betty. So really, there was actually no other choice for him. Is that the right three to go to the end? Probably not. I'm not
absolutely sure. Not. It was.
I don't think it is. But I understand from a strategic point, if those are the people he thinks he's working with, they're not going to hit the block until they need to. And, you know, we see Josh and Betty really excited. Summer pissed. You lied to me. You lied to me. You said you wouldn't put me up. I thought this was really interesting from Summer.
I agree, because like Josh did say to Summer on numerous occasions that he wouldn't put her up, and then the first opportunity he gets, he puts her up. That's why I'm saying it's bad jury management. Like, you should have at least put up Kevin or Helena first, and then whoever wins veto, then put up Summer.
So, no, I don't agree. And here's why.
Okay.
He didn't want them out. He didn't want them to go. So the alternative was Summer, because I assume Josh told many of people on that house, I'm never going to put you up. I'm never going to put you up. Part of this game is lying. What I don't like in this move wasn't what Josh did. That's not the problem. People break promises. Summer did not need to go get into his face afterwards and say, you lied, and confront him. Although she was probably emotional. I get it. Like I get it. Because she wasn't certain that she was going home. She might have won the power of veto. And by doing that, she created an enemy. A real full-length enemy that, you know, she exploded on him. That's hard to repair after.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you put up Summer, that's like, she's not gonna forget it. Like, it's not really
100%. But she also wasn't gonna win that POV, obviously.
Mm.
Right? Like, she doesn't have a track record of winning things.
So
in my opinion, like, I just don't think Summer was doing the smart strategic move. If she be upset, that's fine. But go out there, say, okay, I understand that this is a game move. I get it. I respect you. I got to go, you know, we're going to figure this out after. I'm going to go win this. Like, and keep what you actually really think in here to yourself.
Yeah. Now actually thinking about it, like I do agree, like, Summer did get, like, a little emotional. And she got a little bit bitter. Here's the thing, the first time Summer hit the block by Gino, she was not taking it well at all. But then to be fair, Gino did tell Summer to her face, be like, listen, I'm choosing JL over you, so fuck you. I think like that was okay for her feelings there. That's completely valid. For this on a triple, okay, it's a heat of the moment, but like at least sit down with Josh for 2 minutes and try to figure out what his angle is. Like that would have been better. But
okay. So for me, that was my first nail in the coffin of that night for Summer, because she kept on doing things that night that pissed me off. And I'll tell you more about that in a few. But we have to go to the POV competition where they did finally have to complete that clock, get balls into a little platform that had holes and try to maneuver around themselves to get those balls in the holes. And our girl, who whenever she needs to win a competition, wins. JL takes herself off of the block. I was so happy for her. She is a true athlete. When she needs to get into that zone and play and win, she plays and she wins.
Agreed. Every single time she's been on the block, whether it was the safety chain, the week two, or now, she won the veto every single time. So she did a phenomenal job of surviving it.
So we then see them go inside the house, and it was time for Josh to figure out what to do once JL, who obviously would use the POV on herself, what he would do. And what did he do? He put up his best friend in the house, Betty.
Again, that was even worse.
Again, that was genius. You'd say why it was worse, and
how that was genius. Okay, Sheldon, I want to hear from your perspective. Like, why do you think putting up Betty was a smarter, was a genius play compared to putting up Kevin or Helita?
Because so, who is on the block?
Marty, Summer, and now Betty.
And Betty. That means who's left to vote?
That leaves Kevin, Helena, and JL.
Okay, JL, would she save Marty? Absolutely not. After what he did.
Would she save Summer? Absolutely not, because of Gino. Yeah,
so Betty is saved. And then if you think about Kevin and Helena, are they going to save Marty after all this craziness and they stab back at him?
No.
Of course not. Would they save Summer, who they don't have any relationship? So this
probably was, not.
To me, the smartest move, because this made sure Betty survives.
Okay, that's fair. That's one way to look at it. My thought is that, like, if you want to weaken Kevin or Helena, they've been rocking with Josh at the beginning. Josh needs all the smoke.
He was not smoking last night. I think Josh had the night of the season last night. I thought it was in the moment. Josh went to work and did some good things. Tasha's saying it's not good.
It's not good for Josh's game. I agree.
I think you're probably right. In the long term, it's not good for Josh's game. But I think in the short term, in the way that Josh is thinking about how he's positioned and his proximity and closeness with Helena and Kevin, he thinks it's brilliant because all of his allies, Helena, Kevin, and Betty, are still going to be there.
Right. I mean, here's my thing. Like, obviously, like, coming from like their perspective, like, if I was Josh and if people are going after Kevin and Helena, and as well as taking out people like Gino and JC Lynn, I would have been the perpetrator in the middle of being like, hey, let's put all three of them up. Whoever wins veto, the other two go up and they go anyways. Because not only did he like put at risk for Betty to go up on the block. Okay, that's fine. But what's going to happen in the long run? That all it's going to show that Josh throwing up Betty and Summer, the two people that had his back and probably could have beat in the end, like putting them on the block, it makes legitimately no sense. Okay, we got to also think of the jury for a second. Herman and Moose, they were both voting for Josh to win. And I bet Gino probably was too. But now you threw in Summer into the mix with Marty. Both of them Marty wasn't really going to vote for Josh anyways, so you might as well just toss Marty out of the picture. That's fine. But throwing out Summer, who's had your back from the jump, who you probably could have beaten in the end, like for Josh's game, it makes, like, I think that wasn't really his move. That was really more Kevin and Helena's move, but it was also his move on top of it. 100%. What would have been the better move, in my opinion, throwing in Kevin, Helena, and Marty, whoever wins veto, get rid of two of them, and then the last one you can worry about later.
Yeah, that's you're right. I think the goal would have been get rid of Marty and split up Kevin and Helena.
That would have been the right move. But throwing out Marty at Summer when Summer was really a number for Josh, it makes no sense.
But the problem is, number for Josh, number not. Like, Josh, in his heart, believes that he is a final three with Kevin and Helena.
Which is fine, but again, if you looked at the episode...
It's wrong.
Yeah.
But that's wrong. How he thinks. So based on...
It's not his fault. I get that. It's not his fault. Like, all we're saying is that from his perspective, it would have been better to throw in people that he knew would have been the right call. But that's it.
So we get to the please. Marty looks like he shat himself. He doesn't know what to do, doesn't know what to say. He looks shocked. He kind of says, just good for your game. Do what's good for your game. Doesn't know what to say. My second nail in the coffin of Summer is that she doesn't even want to plead her case. She says, I'm not going to waste my breath on you folks. Do what you need to do. Again, not willing to play the game, not willing to suck up if she needs to.
I think Summer knew that she was going home. I think Summer knew that Kevin and Helena were going to get her home.
Try. Throw somebody under the bus. Don't just give up. Like, what was that?
No, that's fair. Like, I just think that, like, if you know Summer as a person, like, I think, like, she would have been the kind of person that's just like, listen, you already tossed me out. But, like, I think had this would have been a shorter week, she would have not been as mad as what she did last night.
You mean like
I think that was the problem.
As opposed to like in a night?
Yeah, I think Summer likes things planned out more than really just have all things done at once, because then if things don't go her way, she gets pissed.
I think Summer doesn't like when things happen that she doesn't plan and she's not part of. And I think Summer's a little bit of a sore loser. I'm sorry.
No, that's fair.
I am very unimpressed by her.
Yeah, like, I think she is a bit of a sore loser, but that doesn't mean that, like, Summer didn't play throughout the game. Like, I will give that.
I don't actually know anymore. Honest to goodness, really? What did she do? She made good relationships.
She flipped the vote to get rid of Kyle and convinced Gino to put him up.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean
she got rid of somebody pre-merge. Congratulations.
She still played compared to Kyle or Eddie.
What she did really good
was
be an extremely social threat. That's what she did a lot.
She did, yes.
The problem
I
is,
agree.
Outside of the Kyle vote, she didn't leverage any of that. She couldn't use it. It didn't help her game.
I think she got into her own head that, like, she's so under the radar. Nobody is going to be gunning for her. She's one of the last two people that hasn't been touching the block. And then next year when she has the block shirt, her ego went like here from like down. But
so we get to the vote. They're voting for one person to save. Unanimously, Betty is saved. Marty and Summer go home. Summer on her way out tells Betty, if you get to the end, you got my vote. Marty on the way out says, you are all tremendous players. Thanks for all of it. Thank you to everybody. And Summer, who I think in this moment showed her complete true colors, says, this is not the last time you are going to see me on TV. And it became very clear to me at that moment that Summer was not there to play Big Brother. Summer was there to get a job. Summer wants to be on TV. Summer wants to be in media. Summer didn't give a shit about anything. Here's the problem. Summer forgot that this is Big Brother Canada. Not that many people watch the show. This is a very small country. The likelihood that Summer is going to get that, good for her for trying, but the likelihood is very small. Especially if she goes out there and blatantly says, you know what, I'm just doing this for TV. Even afterwards, she says to Arisa, yeah, I'll make my $1 million after. Don't worry about it. Like, I'm okay. This show made me everything I need to be. She doesn't even know what people think about her.
I wouldn't discredit, like, Big Brother Canada's viewership compared to the rest of the shows. Like, honestly, every single show that has been produced and made by Canadian sponsors or Canadian networks hasn't been lasted for longer than maybe like three seasons, five seasons max. BBK's now on their 10th season. That's no easy feat. Like, you know, you got to give them credit for that.
And, what I'm talking about isn't from the perspective of not being a successful Canadian show. They obviously are.
Yeah.
My point is that we have such a small media market in this country that the likelihood that anything will come out of this from a media perspective for her life is very small. Now, if it does, I'm going to be very happy for her and I wish her all the best. But it became so clear to me that she wasn't there to play the game and she didn't give a crap, honestly. And she was really, as she said on the first episode of the season, she was petty as hell. And I don't like petty. I prefer Betty.
I think Penny, Summer, to a certain extent, I believe that. I think she's more of a sore loser than anything else near the end. I think if she had good sportsmanship, it'd be like, okay, you know what? Y'all did, like, y'all took out the best player of the season. Ha, ha, ha. But no, she didn't play that way. She was just like, ew, y'all took me out? Gross. Like,
so, that was the night in the Big Brother Canada house. We had Gino leave. Then we had Marty and Summer leave together. Oh, boy. We are down to the final five. We got Betty, we got Josh, we got Helena, we got Kevin, and we have JC Lynn, who seemingly is by herself, but let's see what she can do. We're going to talk next week, Josh, about who wins HOH, who wins Power of Veto, and what happens next week. Let's not spoil it this week. If you want to figure out who won, go online and check it out. But some of you might be surprised and maybe a little bit happy because I know I was. Josh, what do you have to plug before we call it a night?
Survivor Pandemic, still going strong. More episodes coming in every Wednesdays and Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern. If you haven't followed the YouTube channel, please like, comment, and subscribe. Survivor Pandemic, we are almost near halfway through the season, and it is going to get even crazier from here on out. You might want to check it out.
Wow. For us, we'll be back here on Tuesday night, 8 p.m., where we're going to be talking about what is the aftermath of this triple eviction, who wins POV, and who does he or she, I will tell you, it's a she. Who does she put up? Who does she put up? So much to talk about this season somehow, Josh, is coming to an end really, really quickly.
2 weeks left. That means
and before you know more. It, yeah. Julie Chen Moonves is back with Big Brother.
Already? That was fast.
A few more weeks. I think we're going to get Big Brother July?
I think June, yeah.
We'll get it, but let's get through Big Brother Canada. Thank you, folks, for watching. If you have any comments, feel free to, if you're watching this on YouTube, comment on YouTube, follow us, do all those fun things. You can listen to us on your podcast on your way to school or to work. That's how I listen to my podcast. So thank you for being with us from the For the Fans Entertainment House in Vaughan, Ontario. I'm Sheldon for Josh. See you on Tuesday. Night. Gummies are tasty.